Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. On this program, Dr. Meg Meeker concludes her interview with Nick Vujicic. Nick is a motivational speaker and the director of the nonprofit organization Life Without Limbs. Nick travels the world inspiring millions to overcome obstacles and achieve their dreams. In today's broadcast, he tells us how the power of love can triumph over every challenge. Just a reminder, this interview takes place on the floor of the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida, so you may hear a lot of background noise during the interview. And now, here is the conclusion of the interview with Nick Vujicic on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Does your wife have a strong faith as well?
Oh, yeah. No. I wouldn't marry someone without that.
Okay.
And she's very strong in her faith. She's very inspirational. That's why we wrote this book as well, because I wanted, to me, the most inspirational woman I've met, ever will meet, my wife, Kanae. When she was a child, her mother left the family. When she was 18, her father died of cancer.
Mm.
So orphaned, if you will, to some extent.
And where did she grow up?
Mexico.
Okay.
Born and raised in Mexico and then moved to Texas 10 years ago, just like I moved from Australia to LA 10 years ago. And so I wanted to share her story because there are a lot of women out there who give up on love, who give up on themselves, who feel like they're not beautiful, who feel like they've been dealt the worst cards that they can ever deal with. Now, absolutely, I never compare brokenness to brokenness, and pain is pain.
Right.
But hope is hope, and hope in the Lord is the only hope that we have, Jesus Christ.
Right. So how did she get from 18 to meeting you?
So she came to Texas, and I was 10 years later speaking at a vision casting night in Dallas. And her boss brought her along. And when her and I met, we fell in love at first sight. So after we met, 6 months after we met, we started courting and dating. And so it took a little while before we really moved forward in any kind of relationship, praying, seeking God's will. That whole story, I don't know if you read it, but it's a fun story.
You know, I will tell you, my husband and I were love at first sight.
Were you?
Oh.
I love it.
And we've been married 35 years.
I love it.
The man walks in a room, my heart jumps.
Yeah.
After all these years.
And it doesn't always happen that way, but it's
pretty.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you something.
I'll tell you something.
And the longer you've been married and the older you grow together, you feel the same feelings. You think the same thoughts. We work together. We have a practice together. He's my soulmate. I mean, he's the love of my life. And he's an enormous inspiration to me. And I think that those of us who have wonderful marriages and are blessed, we need to encourage people. Because a lot of time, I have three kids married, and you can't believe the people that would come to them and give them, oh, are you sure? Oh, are you sure? When you two went to get married, did you have anybody come and say, wait a minute? All that? I imagine you did. How did you handle that?
Good question. The people who know me pretty well, they know me that as a bullheaded young man. I mean,
You look bullheaded.
I am bullheaded.
You do.
I'm bullheaded. Uh-huh. I get stubborn sometimes. But when I know something and I'm convicted of something, you can't.
And you knew you were going to marry her. That was it.
Yeah, at that time. Now, at the same time, sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and bathing it all in prayer, because there was a girl before her, several years before that, and we had a relationship, a courtship that ended in heartbreak, and that I share in the book as well. So even though as strongly as convicted as I am, of course I wanted the blessing of her mother now, who came back, and beautiful reconciliation that happened about 5 years ago, but also my parents. And my parents were unbelievable. Like, they were flabbergasted that anyone would love their son. In fact, my dad admitted later, no, for real, it's a parent thing. Parent thing. It's like, will he really find someone who loves our son like we do?
Right.
And why would they? Right?
Yeah.
And so that was the whole thing. And so when they met my wife, they sat her down and said, do you know the possibilities that your kid may have no arms and legs? And my wife said, Even if all five of our children have no limbs, at least they have a father who's a great example to lead by. So
good answer.
Yeah, amazing.
So
and
five.
She's incredible. Well, at the time we wanted five. Now we're taking one child at a time.
Look, once you get past three, it's easy after that. You're going to do three.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
we,
yeah.
No, we talked to each other. We said, you know, if this second one was a girl, we'd be very content. Mm-hmm. But we'll try for a third and maybe even adopt. But
that daddy-daughter thing is nothing like it.
It's all good. Whatever the Lord gives.
Yeah. Whatever he decides to give.
Whatever he gives.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not daughter, daughter-in-laws, that's good enough.
Exactly. And
right.
Daughter, are you close with your parents?
I am very close and close to my mother-in-law as well.
Wonderful.
It's
and
beautiful.
They live in L.A. as well.
My mother-in-law lives in Dallas and everyone else lives in L.A.
Okay. So Love Without Limits, that came out in November.
Yes.
What was your favorite book to write and why?
Oh, goodness. So Life Without Limits, I have to say, is not my favorite, but it was the most challenging, well-rounded book that we took 9 months to put together. It was hard to sort of summarize from where I was from birth to 2010. And so to get all the stories in there in a way that's an introductory book for anyone who's not a Christian to now be open about Christianity or Jesus Christ. That aspect is very fun. Unstoppable is probably my second most favorite book that we wrote. It was the second book, and it was sharing about how I came through that depression in January 2011, and that whole I was very raw, naked, transparent book. Stand Strong, to me, I can't say favorite stuff, but it was very, very fun. Because I've always been called to speak to teenagers, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the years of their life where they're looking for their value, their purpose and direction in life and making decisions that'll affect their future. And so this one on bullying, I want to help save lives, not just save souls, but help, first of all, 4,300 teenagers in this country commit suicide every single year. And our surveys that we do in front of hundreds of schools find out that 40% of the reason why teenagers try to commit suicide is because of abuse at home and 40% because of bullying at school. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to educate this next generation, understanding that you're not a Christian just because you go to church on Sundays and then tease people on Monday. You're not a Christian. You don't know the love of Jesus Christ. Until you actually want to make a difference for Jesus in the sphere of influence that you're in, which is your school and your youth group, and you stop gossiping, and you stop this, and you stop that, and you start really living for God, you're not going to change the world. Mm-hmm. So what I realized in saying to teenagers what not to do is saying what I would never, ever, ever want to do. And I tell teenagers all the time, I would never, ever, ever, ever want to be part of someone's reason to hate their life to a point that they try to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And so it's helping them understand you don't know who's been sexually abused. You don't know who has hell at home. And they're on the edge of giving up. And then, you know, you have nothing else better to do but just, you know, push them over.
Right.
And you don't know that. So that's what I love about Stand Strong. It's talking about stand strong in your life, stand strong in the truth, stand strong in Jesus and God, and stand strong in your school because you are an evangelist. Everyone's an evangelist. You want to know why, in my opinion, why 85% of people who've been attending churches have left in the last 7 years? You know that stat, right?
Yeah.
I believe it's because the churches who pride themselves in a healthy way, pride themselves in saying, well, yeah, we, our members of our church, they know the word of God. We disciple them. Well, that's great. What do you know about evangelism? And then you go to the churches who know things about evangelism and they go out and serve the community, but they know nothing about giving their members of their churches in-depth discipleship, Bible studies and courses and really get into theology and understand that. Then you've got the churches that are saying, well, all you need is an experience of God and the Holy Spirit and you need to speak in tongues and, you know, you get gold teeth and gold dust comes from heaven. Now, look, have I seen 13 miracles? 100% I've seen 13 miracles. I can't deny that. Does God do miracles? Absolutely. But what I'm going to tell you is when you only emphasize that, just like you only emphasize discipleship, just like you only emphasize service in community, just like you emphasize prosperity preaching, This life is not about going from a valley to a mountain. This life is not a valley and a mountain. This life is full of valleys and full of mountains. And it's about doing those valleys and mountains with Jesus. And he'll carry you when you cannot walk. And we need to understand that just because you hear some preacher saying something, go check it out yourself. Open up that book. Get back in references of God.
Question, ask.
Great. You know, well, why do we believe what we believe? How do we deal with homosexuality? And why? Where are we? Well, what's the biggest thing that should be communicated from Christians? Do I still love everyone? I love everyone. Absolutely. Am I friends with some homosexuals? I am friends. Could I be now pointed by Christians? Why are you even befriending anyone who does this? Well, you could point that about anyone. And what about this company? Do you associate yourself with this country and this economy and this religion? Do you know what they believe? Well, I am a light of Jesus to go out and be the love and light of Jesus Christ, the salt of the earth. And if anyone wants to hear why I get my joy, why I get my purpose and the fulfillment in my soul, I'm going to share it. And that's where I stand with everything in life. If someone is in need of a cup of water and I have a cup of water, I'm going to give you this cup of water whether or not I can preach to you or not. Because giving a cold glass of water is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where is the church? If I may just speak for a bit. If 117,000 churches registered in America actually took care of 2 foster children a year, we would never have needed a foster home. The sex slave industry in this country is an $8.3 billion industry.
Yeah.
And the highest night is Super Bowl night.
Yeah.
Okay? We have it in our own backyard. It's amazing that we're here speaking in the Christian Bookstores Association and the meeting here. I'm challenging the bookstores that actually, in our ministry, we've seen it being a very difficult task to unite the church. But there is one neutral ground that they come under one roof in. You want to know what it is?
I do.
A Christian bookstore. And the Catholics come in, and the Messianic Jews come in, and the Orthodox come in, and the Seventh-day Adventists come in. And we all who acknowledge Jesus as the only way, the truth, and the life. To me, on that ground, I believe that Christian bookstores, every single one of them, will go bankrupt unless they change their mode of operation from only a ministry of producing and distributing materials to now becoming the ministry, where it's actually community. You mark my words, my teenager will never text me in my house when we're under the same roof.
Good for you.
If he does, we're getting rid of his phone. Oh. You come and speak to me face to face. That communication of face to face is so impeccable to reaching people for Jesus Christ. We've lost it. And the community outreach, why don't we? Do you have a mom and dad? Or have they gone home? Let me ask you.
They've gone home.
Do you remember the year that they lost their job? I ask all people who are 50 or 60 years old, do you remember when your parents...
Wait a minute.
No. Watch.
Old people 50 or 60 years old?
No. I'm asking you about your parents.
Yes.
The day that they lost their job.
Yeah.
The month that they lost their job. The 6 months of not knowing now what is their next purpose. Right. Why don't we have now 10 to 15 Christian seniors who are there to give out prayer and counsel and help? Why don't we have a team of volunteers where a local church Christian bookstore and a local church is not our competitor, but we're actually needing each other to come in and partner on a neutral ground where people would not go to a church building, but they'll come to a Christian bookstore to maybe get training into how to use Word document or how to put a resume together or get groceries or something like that. I was just hearing that a concept that I'm giving CBA tomorrow, all the directors, that they were having a program held at the Christian bookstore. And I'm not going to say what kind of sin this woman was in. But this woman with that type of sin was brought in by her mum, came into the door, will never go into a church, ever. But she came, she got touched by the Holy Spirit, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There is a neutral ground, and money follows ministry. When you follow the heart of God, God always pays for what he orders.
Yeah.
And until every Christian bookstore now understands the revolution of ministry, they will go bankrupt, because Amazon and all these other competitors will actually supersede everything else.
Oh, they do. They're already doing that.
That's what I'm saying. But we will die as a Christian Bookstore Association,
yeah,
unless we now become a Christ-based association to a point like never before. Mm-hmm. Serving the community, coffee, pastries, food once a week, and a live simulcast show where we interview inspirational people only at the bookstores, 30, 40, 50 people gathering every week to hear what the new book is, the new inspirational story, be encouraged by a ministry, whatever it is. Use technology and stop complaining about how the devil uses technology. And let's now
use it for your good. Yeah, I agree. I mean, hey, we got
technology. Isn't that fun?
It's very, very fun.
That's fun.
That's very fun. Now, because of your age and because of your heart and your ministry, and I know that you
and
like...
And these are just ideas. I come strong, and I told you I'm bullheaded, but I love challenging the body of Christ to always be one under Jesus,
yes,
Christ, and think creatively, because our Heavenly Father is the creator of creativity. We'll never run out of ideas.
Right, right.
And I believe, let me just say, and I believe the way that world hunger will stop is when 400 million Christians give a dollar a day.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is something that we really must tackle more than anything in this world right now.
You know, just one final question. I know I got to let you go here, but
I was all over the place.
No, well, you were bullheaded. It's wonderful. You do what I do. You just sort of like jump it all around because you got so much to say, and it's wonderful. You know, one of the biggest challenges for you is going to be, and it's a challenge, it's coming up for me too, in dealing with young people,
yes,
is this whole sexuality kind of stuff. And we as Christians, in general, by the non-Christian media, whatever, we've been branded as narrow-minded, not intellectual, homophobic, you know, racist, all this kind of stuff. And so very often when a young person comes to talk to a Christian, they early on throw out the litmus test, well, what about gays? What do you think about that? And if we can answer that right, they will give us an ear. If we don't, they cut us off. How do we deal with that? How will Nick deal with that? Hmm. It's going to be, because it's going to come up over and over and over.
Yep, it will. My question to the question is, what's the question? Is the question, do I believe that they're going to heaven? Is the question, do I love them? Is the question that I'll never be friends with any of them? Is the question that we wouldn't accept them into the church to come and hear the gospel? What's the question?
The question here's the question. If God's word is right, and you believe God's word is right, and you believe that homosexuality is a sin, and I'm a homosexual, but I was born this way, how can I believe in a God that says I'm not who I am?
So if it's that question, if you look purely at what the Bible says, if it's black and white, if we want to go down that way,
that's what they're asking.
We are all born with sin. You get 2-3-year-olds and give them one toy.
So you call my identity sin. So then you must not like me.
See, and that's their own conclusion.
Yes.
Now, then the conclusion to that conclusion is, as a Christian who believes in the Bible, that's what, to me, is. But that doesn't change your value as a human being. Whether you are a sinner or a not, you're a human being. We all have different sin. We all have lied once, stolen once, cheated once, or been jealous or hated someone. When you look at all the abominable sins, that list, that's not there. And so when you now go here and go there, the bottom line comes back to my question. Well, what's your question? Will I love you? I will love you you need something, I will help you. If you want to know what God has for you, yes, the Bible says that is not blessed by God. But if you want to get to know God, that is a journey that I can help you in, and we can discuss more. It can't be just a cut off. See, everyone's always looking for an excuse, just like any other excuse not to believe in God.
But
and the excuse to believe in God is, well, look at all the pain in the world. How can God, of a loving God, be so, you know, passive about all this? Well, when you know the truth that God didn't create pain, that Satan created pain, and whatever pain you have, God can turn into good. Well, that's that. Do you remember when divorce started? Do you associate yourself with any people who are divorced anymore? Do you remember that debate back then?
Yes.
So then the bottom line is, look at where society has come. Do we still love everyone? We still love everyone. But if someone wants to ask me their question, then ask me the questions and I'll state my answer as a Christian. And you shouldn't expect anything different from me. Yet at the same time, the bottom line is, the biggest thing I want to communicate to all the world is love. Do you know that they were killing people who were homosexuals in Africa? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know Christians?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Christians were killing homosexuals in Africa. So is that right or is that wrong?
Of course it's wrong.
It's totally wrong. So when you look at the world, we're looking at 7 billion people, all the culture, all the religions as one. So if a teenager is genuinely, to me, asking me that question, and they genuinely want to know if God has a plan for them, I tell them, just like anything else, okay, that when you hold on to something in your hand has to be closed. With a closed hand, you can't receive anything more. Now, that goes with having sex before marriage. Sex out of marriage is the devil's wine. And the counterfeit is never better than the authentic. So whatever it is, whether it's sexual or pride or greed or ego or lust or anything else, and all separately mutually exclusive from what we've just been talking about, sexual orientation, identification, it's understanding that whatever we're holding on to, we can experience a more abundant life and fulfilled life. Now, that's an argument. I'm already fulfilled. But then you don't need God at all. Okay. So me who has God, who has Jesus, is saying, whatever you're holding in your hand, I don't care. I love you, and God has more for you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That makes tremendous sense. And I really wanted to hear you articulate that, because that's what a lot of Christians are up against, and kids coming home from college saying,
and they don't know what to say.
They don't know what to say, and exactly.
They don't know what to
say. Exactly.
I am friends with homosexuals, and we need to understand that love is everything. And if they want to know more about that, we don't get together and just, you know, talk about God and debate, but God puts us in other people's lives, in the adulterers' lives, in murderers' lives, in, well, now you're comparing me to all those people, I'm not that bad. No, that's not the discussion. The discussion is, I have found the most fulfilling way of living life, and it's Jesus. And if you want to accept him, great. If you don't accept him, that's your choice. So that's the line where we have the love all around, and we need to teach Christians how to deal with this. Anyway, the bottom line is, this is the beginning of some lines being drawn that are going to make the next couple of years
but
very interesting.
But I think the separation is going to be hard, because a lot of people say, why should I follow your God who says that I'm completely wrong?
Yep. And I'm not, and that's their choice, that's, but that doesn't change my love for them.
Yep. Nick, this is awesome.
Oh.
This is great. Well, God's blessings on you and your family. Is your wife here with you?
No, she's not. She's 6.5 weeks away from
giving
birth.
Oh, that's right. I already asked you. You told me that.
But that's
smart
okay.
Smart lady.
So anyone who's listening, please go to lifewithoutlimbs.org for any more information, or go to facebook.com/NickVujicic, NickVujicic.
And read Love Without Limits.
Please read it. You'll love it. You'll love it. Single, divorced.
You'll love it.
You'll love it.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks.
You know, Nick's message is simple, but it's also powerful. As Christians, we can change the world when we love without limits. But we can't love like Christ loves until we make him the center of every relationship and every encounter. And that's the heart of Nick's latest book, Love Without Limits. I urge everyone to pick up a copy and step up to the line of loving the world like never before. You'll find a link to Nick's book and his website, Life Without Limits, on our webpage, drjamesdobson.org. Today is the 1st of October, and that means we're offering a brand new resource for your support of Family Talk. For every donation of $20 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of my dad's book, Love Must Be Tough. This exclusive resource offers proven guidance to rekindle romance and renew marital relationships. To give today, call us at 877-732-6825 or click on the tab at drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.